Okay, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda. I am without my co-host, Neil Smith, today, but I do have a friend here, Eddie Park. Eddie, thanks so much for being on the show.
Woo! What's up, Jay?
Man, you got some energy.
I've been waiting for you to ask me to be on this podcast, man.
Okay, we were like talking right before we hit the record button, and you like all of a sudden got like a burst of energy.
I'm trying to show up for the social media podcast.
Thank you,
social media church podcast.
You got energy too, because for everybody who doesn't know, so we're recording in Southern California, and it's raining, and it's actually picking up. It's picking up right now, but like anytime it rains in Southern California, everybody gets super gloomy. And there's not a lot of energy.
I'm excited. Well, you know what? I haven't got any sleep. I just had my daughter born.
Yeah, dude.
A week ago.
Dude. Okay, so let's get into a couple things, because
Okay, cool.
So you are a UCLA grad. You've done stuff at Stanford Business School. Stanford, I love that. I actually just went to the Stanford campus.
Nice.
Not too long ago, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful campus. Yeah. It's crazy.
A lot of bike riders there.
Yes, a lot of bike riders. I was there, and it was so cold. It was some weekend where it's just like, I was like, oh, my hands.
Yeah, NorCal, man.
It's so cold. You're a teaching pastor at EV Free. Mm-hmm. I want to just make sure, go to eddiehpark.com, check out everything he's doing. He's got a cool site, a bunch of cool stuff going. But most importantly, you just published your first book, The Shame Myth, 7 Steps to Advance Your Career, Relationship, and Purpose. And there's a bunch of things I want to get into. But
yeah,
you have a sweet video that you put together to promote the book. Mm-hmm. Very compelling. And so we're going to put all this stuff in the show notes, but check out his book, The Shame Myth. Really cool. So first off, tell us a little bit about the book and how that came about.
Yeah. The book came about really as it's, I have so much going on up in here, especially in my preaching. Mm. And you know, as a preacher at an evangelical mega church, there's a lot of limitations you have and how deep and how personal and how gritty, I guess, you can be, you know, because we're so used to, like, you know, gumdrops and lollipops and making our campuses look like Disneyland, and
yeah,
we want to share a really inspirational, encouraging message. But you know, as a pastor, I'm dealing with so many stories one-on-one with suicide, husbands that are deserting their wives over gambling problems, meth addiction, just a lot, you know, sexual molestation, a lot of sexual molestation. And this is people that seem normal, and they're just sitting and living in our congregations and churches. And I have a personal story of shame as well. A lot has happened to me in my life. And I just felt like the platform of the pulpit, every time I kind of a little bit did it, it made a lot of people uncomfortable.
Mm.
And I felt that there's this tension between, you know, we need to go to this place. We need to go to this place of discomfort so that we can come out of hiding. We can experience freedom. So many of us are not living in true authenticity and honesty. It's so much easier to pretend. It's so much easier to pretend like our marriages are going great. It's so much easier to pretend like we're a good Christian. And so a lot of the book was out of this, is this almost sense of calling, sense of responsibility to be someone to help people come out of hiding, come into the light. And evidently, when you do kind of face your greatest fear of shame, you know, the doors of possibility open for your career, for your relationships. You're able to be free and actually have vision for your life and have the courage to go after it and be aligned to your purpose. So that's kind of like, you know, I don't know if that answers anything. That's
no, it did.
The spirit of why the book was written.
Well, I was definitely touched. We've talked about this briefly when we've connected, but I was definitely touched even in the video and so forth, that like having a similar experience with a dad, with being raised by a single mom and not having a dad around and some of those dynamics. But I know I'm really excited. I already seen like it jumping up on the Amazon store. Cause right now it's released as a digital, right? That's like, it's digitally released and it doesn't.
It's a pre-order. The digital is pre-order.
Gotcha.
Right, yeah. Gotcha. So the minute it goes out, everybody that pre-ordered will get that immediately.
Sweet. So your art. Okay. So that's, so even the pre-orders jumped up in the top 500 of Amazon, which is awesome.
Yeah. Which is incredible. Ooh,
so awesome. I was just watching the whole thing and I'm really encouraged, especially the tactic that you've taken, that you're trying to position this book. It's obviously, you know, you're a Christian, it's written from your worldview, but you're taking it where it's can almost be an evangelistic thing where you can hand it to somebody.
Yeah. You know, and I want to speak on that because I, you know, my background was in corporate and investment banking. And I lived my entire life trying to be the better version of my father. Mm. You know, my mom, single mom. And I felt like not only will I have success in the corporate world, but I wanted to become a pastor, a very successful pastor, so that I could try to justify all the suffering that my mom went through as a single mom. And, you know, when I was like achieving, you know, trying to get, you know, I got into a PhD program, I was doing my doctorate. It was just like, I was just looking at myself like, what am I doing? Why am I not satisfied with, I'm just achieving. I'm just trying to create success. I'm so enslaved to my own ambition. And it's because of this pain that I have with my mom. Mm. And you know, what I realize is, and I talk about this in the book, but I realigned my purpose. Instead of being affected by my pain in my past, I chose, you know, to give. And one of the ways that I wanted to give, instead of being the man that my mom should have been with, or the better version of my father, I actually decided that I want to be a voice. I want to be a mentor, a friend, a coach to someone like my father, who was in his 30s. And my father, who was a very skeptic, corporate, ambitious businessman, he wouldn't really, you know, you wouldn't really jive with the, some of the things that we do in church. He actually looks down on the church, thinks it's like, you know, it's, you know, it's so underwhelming for him because he's achieved so much success. And he's very
underwhelming.
He's just a very raw, honest person. Mm-hmm. And so I created a message for someone like that, someone like my dad, who might not jive with, you know, the tradition of the church, the conventionalism of the church, but coming from a voice of concern, of authenticity, and you know, who doesn't want freedom in their career, their relationships, and to be aligned with their life purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely, I'm excited to dive into it. So make sure, even like, I love it. Like I was typing in like the shame myth. It's like one of the first, it's the first thing that pops up. So
yeah, it's crazy. It's
I know. Crazy. I love that. Which is half the, like you would think that like there would be other things that would pop up considering how new the book is, you know, it's not even out yet, but that's actually one of the things that I was really curious about. So your tactic of publishing and promoting this book. So like you created a Facebook group around it. And then you started to like, you even like early designs of the book. I mean, it feels like you pushed this out pretty quick, like the way everything went. I know there's a lot of planning that went into ahead, but like you even like, it felt like 3 to 4 months prior to the book even being in pre-order, you were like, you were giving updates, you were giving, you know, design ideas of like, what do you guys think? So tell us a little bit about that, like your tactics there. Cause I thought that was like something super, I think to the normal, to the church, you know, pastor, like the way that you are promoting this book, I think there's a lot of things there that, you know, you're obviously taking from your ministry experience, business experience.
Yes.
But like why go with a Facebook group and what was the idea there?
Sure. Well, I don't want to take, I don't want to take credit and look like a genius for coming up with this strategy. I had a lot of help. I have a book consultant. I had a writing coach. So even my writing, I finished writing the book, the content of the book in 3 days. What? So I hired a writing coach and I'm just going to give it away. I hired a writing coach and he locked me in a hotel, in a room from 10 to 9 every day. And he just beat me with questions over and over and over. And I would answer it in my honest voice, in my talking voice, my visceral voice. It wasn't crafted, because any authors out there, writers or even preachers out there, the scariest thing is a blank Word document. And you're always editing and you're like, that doesn't sound good. You're just in your head. And a lot of it is driven because you want to look good in front of people. You want people to be, you know, impressed by you. But the tactic looks so aggressive and scary that you're just authentically sharing your ideas from your gut, from your heart. And so, like, I didn't think it would work, but, you know, I think I probably popped out more than 30,000 words in those 3 days. And it's insane. It's insane. So that was my process. So that was my, I had a writing coach, and then I had a book consultant that was very, very successful in their own self-publishing. And I entered into this community with other self-publishers that have kind of done bootstrapping type of startup mentality in publishing their book. And so I really, I listened to Tim Grawl. Tim Grawl was a guy that his podcast I listened to, and I just really implemented a lot of his tactics and what's out there for self-publishing authors. And I got some strategy. There's some strategies out there on how to become an Amazon bestseller. And so I was like, hey, you know, why don't I try this out? And I took a very, just like you said, Jay, I took a very almost crowdsourcing approach. Even the title, I didn't even have a title for the book.
And
the title was given by the crowd. They, you know, I constantly polled my group. I surveyed my group. Even the subtitles of the 7 steps to advancing your career purpose. I think I had something like, you know, for people pleasers, and perfectionists, or something like that. But a lot of it is because I wanted to write this book for my tribe. You know, I wanted the support and journey of my tribe. And because, you know, no one can do it by themselves. You know, no one can do it on their own. And even to down to the book cover, people voted and got suggestions. And I thanked every single person that gave a suggestion, that took their time out to give their opinion on something. And so it was incredible. Like, just this community that is rallying behind you, because if you're doing it on your own, it can be really hard, really depressing, isolating. And I'm a super extrovert. So I need that people, you know, to really be a champion for
that. So I love the way you said that about, you wanted to do it for your tribe and with your tribe on some level. And so that makes a lot of sense. Was it weird being super transparent about like part of you, obviously your background is that you have all this education and you wanted to stay together. Was that part, are you almost kind of living out your teaching there of like, okay, I don't really have a title. I don't really like, I don't know what, like, was that weird doing that in the group?
You know, it's uncomfortable, but that's exactly what I talk about in the book. And just like you said, Jay, I have titles and I have, you know, a fancy resume. I have degrees from good schools, but those are all masks. Those are all things that I put on, an image that I present to the world so that they would like me and that they would respect me. And that at the end of the day, I've done a lot of, you know, shameful things in my life, just like everybody has, and unfortunate and shameful things have happened to us. And you know, I wanted to present myself very vulnerably, just like another human being, because that's essentially what I want in the book, for people to feel like. Mm. Yeah. So that they can be bold and courageous to come out of hiding.
So the one other thing I wanted to ask, so like, tell us a little bit about how you leveraged Thunderclap. And what was like that tool like? Because I think I thought that was an interesting approach, just a current day approach. What's kind of the vision and of that, and how did you use it to promote your book?
Yeah, Thunderclap. So essentially, Thunderclap is an app, a web app or tool where you design a campaign, and you can set the days, and basically you set a campaign at 100 people or 250 people. To support your campaign, almost like a Kickstarter feel or some GoFundMe type of feel, where somebody, all they need to do is do one click, and that person will basically submit their Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr list. Mm-hmm. And you already set up a tag, or you already set up like a social media copy for them, and you're almost buffering, or what's the other Twitter deck? You know, you're
scheduling it out.
It's almost this communal social media buffer Hootsuite type of app, where when they submit and they join your campaign, at the same time it will go out all at the same time, like a thunderclap. And so it was my first time using it, and it was actually pretty difficult like navigating it through it, but man, I learned a lot. I think it's a very, very powerful tool.
Well, I will say that I, outside of just being excited to check out the book, I want to encourage everybody who's listening to check out The Shame Myth. Check it out. Go pre-order it on Amazon. I definitely think for everybody who is a pastor at a church or a ministry leader at a church, you know, check it out. Also, you know, check out eddiehpark.com and check out everything that I've been really encouraged by the way you've done this from your Facebook group. I think that's definitely a super... I'm definitely thinking about Seth Godin Tribes as you're talking about staying real tight. And at the same time, you're doing, and I know this is pastoral of you, so you're on top of it. You're personally following up with people. I know I got private messages from you, and it was funny. Like, I was like, oh man, I need to do this. And you know what I mean? And like, you you did it in a well way where it wasn't like, I didn't feel weird about it. I was already in the group. You were following up with me, and I think there's the strategic way that you've done this with your team. I know other people are speaking into it, but that also starts with you being allowing it
on some
level and asking for help. And so I want to encourage everybody, check out The Shame Myth. Thanks so much, Eddie, for hanging out on this gloomy, rare Southern California day. So are you in the office for the rest of the day? Are you out?
I'm in the office. I got meetings. I probably have to bring my wife lunch.
Ooh, yeah.
So I got busy things to do.
So how's sleep right now? What does sleep look like for you? Is it,
you know, my wife and I, it's not too bad. We're only waking up maybe three times in the night. Okay, but our firstborn, it was like every 30 minutes. So this is blissful, actually.
We just moved our third child, our youngest, out of our room. And actually today she turns 5 months old. And so we just did it. And I will say that is, I mean, everybody with kids have opinions, but once the child goes into their own room or whatever, life kind of starts to make sense again. And it's like, oh my gosh. So anyway.
We still, our son, our oldest is two and he still sleeps with us. So it's very courageous of you to say that you're still in the room with your
so 5 months out of the room. And I will say the thing that I love the most that allows me peace that my kids don't sleep in the same room is that I have drop cam apps cams on in our kids' rooms that I can check constantly. So when I roll over in the middle of the night and I'm thinking like is she okay, I can just pull up my app.
I gotta do that. I gotta get that.
Well, and if you pay, this is like such a nerdy thing, but like if you pay for like the monthly, you can actually drag and you can see movement of the kid.
Uh-huh.
Like you can see as much like, or you can do like a time lapse.
Oh, wow. So,
like it makes me feel like that there's still activity in there. But anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways, beside the point. All right, we digest. The Shame Myth, check it out on Amazon. Go to Eddie H. Parks, see everything you're doing. Thanks so much, man, for being on the show today.
Appreciate you, Jay. Thank you so much, man.